already today. I'm thankful for that. I'm glad that God, you know, we don't operate off of feelings. I'm not saved because I feel saved. I'm saved because I am saved. But I'm glad that there are times where the feelings match up with the truth. And that's how I know it's real as well, is because we've got a God. It's not just in the pages, but it's in our hearts. And I'm thankful for that. I'm glad He takes care of us. I'm glad He gives us a witness. I'm glad that we have people testifying the truth here. You know, I was hearing about churches that are compromising on this and compromising on that. And I'm telling you what, we've come too far to start compromising. Why don't we just stick with God's Word? And that's what I want to do today. And you know what happens? Sometimes when we get into God's Word, sometimes we rejoice, right? Sometimes when we get into God's Word, we say, ouch. Sometimes when we get into God's Word, we learn something new. But no matter what it is, it's for us today. It's for us today. Romans chapter 6. We'll be in verse 1. It says this: "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection." Amen. I like that. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word today. I thank You for the sweet Spirit that we already feel. And Lord, I ask that same Holy Spirit to help me to preach and help us to listen and to touch our hearts. And Lord, I don't know the situations that are sitting here, but You do. Lord, I don't know the circumstances that people have brought in and what's been on their mind. But I pray that just for a short amount of time, we could focus on Your Word and that You would draw into You. And Lord, we're asking these in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. So Romans chapter 5 before this makes it clear that we are saved and we are justified by our faith in Jesus Christ. It's not by works, but it is by faith. And it also says that by one man's sin, that was Adam, that sin reigned, but by one man's free gift, we could have eternal life, and that's Jesus Christ. And at the last verse of the chapter, or next to the last in verse 20, it says, "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." I say hallelujah to that. But it starts to bring a question. If you think about salvation and you think about how we are saved, we're not saved by works. We're not kept by works. So you're saved by Jesus Christ, and He's the one that keeps you saved. It's not what you do or what you don't do. What people wonder is, if you preach that and you teach it, because that's what the Bible says, they're thinking, wait a second, all I have to do is that if I believe on Jesus Christ, I believe that He died for our sins, I believe that He was buried, He rose on the third day, if I get rid of my old beliefs, that's repentance, and I accept Him as being the only way to salvation, if I pray to Him and ask Him to forgive me of my sins, I ask Him to come into my life and I confess it, the Bible says thou shalt be saved. And it's true. That's it. That's how you're saved. But then people say, well, wait a second. If I'm saved and there's nothing that I do to keep my salvation, then why don't I just, and if I sin, then grace will much more abound over the sin. Why don't I just sin and live however I want? Right? That's the question. That's the question right here. What's he saying right there? What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin?
Right.
That grace may abound. That's the question that he is asking right here. Shall we continue in it after we're saved, Brother Pete? Should we just continue living the life that we lived before? Because we know the grace will be there, right? That's what he's saying. Shall we continue? Shall we continue to practice habitual sins? Do we keep living that life after we're saved? And he gives an answer in verse 2 that is two words. God forbid. God forbid that we should live that way. And then he starts explaining it. I like how the Holy Spirit answers it. No, we're not to continue in sin that grace may abound. God forbid. So what's it? If you look back in Romans chapter 5, we learn something else. That before you were saved, you were dead in sin. We were dead in sin. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Right? And then down in 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign unto righteousness, unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. All have sinned, and sin reigned in our lives. That means sin controlled, sin ruled, sin guided your life, and it will take you all the way to the point of death. And that's what this world is deceived by. They don't understand that the devil is in all reality guiding their life, guiding them in a certain way. Now they can pick one way to sin or pick another way to sin, or they can live one lie and then change their mind to pick up another lie. He doesn't care, but he's guiding them into deception, guiding them into sin. Sin is ruling and reigning. You're dead in your sins. And the sad part is at the end, you die for it. The wages of sin is death. But then we have Ephesians 2:5. Even as we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace ye are saved. Yes. I like that.
Amen, Lord.
You're dead in your sins. But the best part is, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? You know, when we needed him, that's when he had already done it. He'd already taken care of it. He already died on the cross before I knew that I needed him. And you think about that. He says, when you come to Jesus Christ, he quickens you. That means he makes you alive. He brings you from dead in sin to alive in Christ. The whole thing he's going to explain right here is that our relationship with sin changes the moment we are saved.
Yeah.
The whole relationship changes. And so he says, God forbid, in verse 2, how shall we that are dead to sin, remember we were dead in sin, now we're dead to sin, live any longer therein? And then he says this, know ye not that so many of us were baptized unto Jesus Christ, were baptized unto his death, therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You know, a lot of times we read this passage when we're going to baptize somebody. We read this as common. I've read it many, many times as we've been downstairs getting ready to baptize somebody. And I've heard it read over my lifetime. But you know what it's really talking about is not the water baptism. That's not what it's talking about. It isn't saying when we baptize into water. It says, look at verse 3 again, when we were baptized into Jesus Christ. You know what he's going to explain to us? See, the baptism is a picture, we're kind of acting out what's already happened on the inside. And he's talking about the inside right here. And that's what he says. We've been baptized into Jesus Christ. See, what happens when we do it in water is we're putting them down and we're bringing them back up. And it does show the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But here's what happens. When you repent, when you turn from your old beliefs and you ask Jesus Christ to save you, at that moment you are baptized into Jesus Christ. That means you are fully immersed, not in the water, but you're fully immersed in the cross, you're fully immersed in the grave, and you're fully immersed in raising on the third day. That's what he's going to show us right here. This is what's happening. He says this in 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. I'm here to tell you, when I was 9 years old and I asked Jesus Christ to save me of my sins, I didn't die that day. I didn't literally die that day. I wasn't nailed to a cross that day. But I'm telling you what, I was baptized into Jesus Christ that day. And you know what it means? I struggled with it for a while. And I was praying over this for a while. And then I realized something. I realized it. What's it mean to be baptized into Jesus' death? He's talking about the old man, the former life, the sinner.
Yeah.
And he says, if you're baptized into Jesus Christ, that old man was crucified with him. That means just as real as Jesus Christ being hung on the cross and dying, as just as real as when you ask Jesus Christ into your heart that the old man died.
Yes.
Right? It's the same thing. He's saying, do you believe that he died? That's why, part of why you need to believe that he died. Because to believe, if you can't believe that Jesus died, you'll never believe that he's able to kill off the old man. Right? That's, and you'll never believe it's able to happen. And then not only does he take the old man and he dies on the cross, the old man's buried, isn't he? Hallelujah. I'm glad that he's gone. I'm glad that all of those things, Jesus, he buried him and he's long gone. I may look similar. Well, I've grown up since then, but the day after I was saved, I looked the same on the outside as the day before. But I'm telling you what, something happened on the inside. And we can all say that. The old man is gone, that the body of sin might be destroyed. And then he says that henceforth we should not serve sin. If you agree that the old man is gone, he says, listen, the relationship has changed. The devil, sin, used to rule and reign. What's he say now? You shouldn't be serving sin anymore. Right?
Amen.
If you're saved, you shouldn't be a servant of sin. It shouldn't rule over your life. It shouldn't control your life. I think some people it is. As real as they put Jesus' body in Joseph's new tomb, my old life as a sinner was put in the grave. But here's what he says. Look at verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. Right? What's it say? We shall also we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Amen.
You know, when the Bible talks about resurrection, it talks about planting a lot. And we see it out in the fields out here. They will plant a seed. It'll be gone for a while. You won't see anything. And then all of a sudden, something will sprout up from the ground. That's exactly what he's talking about. They planted that body into the ground, into the tomb. And on the third day, he rose from the grave to new life.
Yeah.
And that death lost its control. Death lost its ability to reign. But he says that. He's saying, listen, if we've been planted together in Jesus' death, if we've been baptized into that, then he was also raised up in the likeness of his resurrection. Ever since that day, ever since the day you asked Jesus to save you, he buried the old man, but a new man was raised up. A new body, a new life, a new creature. The Bible describes it in so many ways, but it's the same thing. We are new.
Yes.
The old man is gone.
Right. Yes.
Just like the old body's gone. It's new. And we've been risen from the dead. That's why the Bible's so clear. If you don't believe in the resurrection, you can never have salvation. You can never have hope. Why? Because there has to be something new to replace the old that's gone.
Amen.
And that's what's happened. Okay. So now, ever since that day, we're alive in Christ. No more walking on death row. That's what this world is doing, and they don't even realize it. They're dead in their sins. They're on death row. Any day now, they will die, or the Lord will come back. But then, after you're saved, there's no more death in your life. But you're alive, and you have eternal life. And because we are dead to sin and alive in Christ, he says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? He's saying, if you believe that God has made you a new creature in Jesus Christ, if you believe that the Holy Spirit dwells in your life, if you believe that the old man is gone, then you also have to believe that that same power that saved you is the same power that will let you walk in a brand new life. The old man is gone. You know what that means? I grow so tired of Christians saying, I've always been that way. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You've always been that way before salvation? Then you're telling me Jesus isn't powerful enough to get rid of it?
And if you're talking about I've been always that way after salvation, you're telling me that the Holy Spirit and God's Word and prayer isn't enough to change your life. You're wrong.
Yeah.
You're wrong. You know what you are? You're either lazy, or you're proud, or you don't admit to the power of God, or you're scared, or you just want to live in opposition to God. Take your pick. That's what it is. You know what this means now? He's saying you're not dead in sin anymore. You're dead to sin, and it shouldn't reign in your life anymore. That means we control it now. Sin used to control us, now we control sin.
That's right.
And that's the problem. We have no one to blame now. No one to blame. We're not slaves to sin. Now we choose to sin. The old man, he tries to turn over a new leaf, doesn't he? That's what this world tries to do. But the old man is gone. Ephesians 4:22 says this, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. And this is all throughout the Bible. You know what it's basically? I'll sum it up into this. After you're saved, you must live differently.
Yes.
You must.
Yes.
You must. You're saying, well, wait a second. How can I? Because you're totally different.
Yes.
Every excuse you have from before you were saved is gone. That old man's gone.
Yes.
Forget him. He's gone. God's forgiven it. Now you've got the new man who has a different relationship with sin. God tells us not to sin. We do sin. We're not going to be perfect. We're going to fall short. We're going to give in to temptations. But guess what? We can't excuse those things anymore.
That's right.
We now, when we fall into sin, we have to tell ourselves, it's my fault, and here's what I need to do to not do it again. Sometimes I need to make some changes in my life. If there are temptations that you're constantly giving into, maybe you need to get yourself away from the spot where you know you're going to be tempted.
Yeah.
Right. I can't go through and list every sin. We know they're through the Bible. But I'm here to tell you, no matter what it is in your life, you've got the power to change it. You may not want to. Well, you may not want to. There's a lot of people in this world. You know, we like to talk about homosexuality and how it's a sin, and it is. But I'll tell you what else is a sin that's even simpler than that. It's fornication, which covers all of that. Unless it's one man and one woman married, and they are the only ones that the Bible condones at sexual relations. That's it. So no matter everyone else, every other scenario is fornication. This world doesn't want to hear that. My gosh, they've got TV shows that promote it, movies that promote it, they've got all kinds of different things, they've got apps on the phone that promote it, and I'm telling you what, I would be afraid to admit, but it's probably true, there might even be people sitting in here that living that way. I don't know. Or maybe, see, adultery is a form of that, it's just cheating on the spouse, but it's still fornication. I mean, you look at all these things, and then Jesus went even further, and he said, if a man thinks in his mind, say, wait a second, Mike. The Bible says if we know to sin, or if we know to do good and do it not, it's a sin. Man, I do that stuff all the time. Man, even the thoughts in our mind, this passage says, you have a different relationship with sin.
Yes.
If you don't believe it, then that means you don't believe that Jesus Christ, what he did was enough to totally change your life. And I believe it was.
Amen.
And I look at this, and I look at this passage, and one way you can look at it is you can say, man, this is hard, because I can't stop sinning, and that's not what he's saying. He's saying you need to realize the sins that you're committing, and stop. And take, and go back to God and say, God, I need help with this. I know the old man is gone, so you need to help the new man.
Yeah.
Right? I need help in this. And He will help you. And His Word will help you.
Amen.
No matter what it is, God's enough. And God's worth it. And I'm glad He's created us a new creature.
Yes.
That means we can walk in righteousness. What's He say in that verse in Ephesians 4, 24? After we are created in righteousness and true holiness, that's what God wants. And if that is what the world sees, they will see a difference in us. And then we can tell them why. It's not the old man turning over a new leaf. He is dead and gone, and it's all because of Jesus Christ. And then we can tell them, just as true. You may not believe that Jesus... You may believe that Jesus lived. You may believe that He died. I'm sure there's people in this world that believe He never rose from the grave. But I can stand here and say, if you've seen a difference in my life, if you've seen something good in my life, it is because Jesus rose from the grave. Because that same Jesus, when I was 9 years old, down in Ashley, when I asked Him to save me of my sins, He came in my life. I was baptized into His death. The old life is gone. And then I was brought into new of life. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not a perfect man, but I've got a new life. I've got a new relationship with sin. And I'm here to tell you, I stumble a lot. I fail Jesus a lot. But there's one thing I know, is I can come back to Him and I can realize that He can help me. And next time, maybe I won't stumble. That's the new relationship. That's it. I can't blame anyone else. Sure, there are people there. They hear preaching like this and they get angry. They get mad. You may even get mad at me. I'm here to tell you. Listen. You can talk about me. You can get mad at me. It is what it is. But you're really getting mad at God.
Yeah.
You're angry at God. The ones out in this world that hate this church for what we preach, they don't really hate this church. They hate the God of this church.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm here to tell you, if you're angry at me, you need to come to God and settle it with Him.
Yeah.
You need to settle it with Him.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to preach to you what God's Word says. And if you don't like it, there's been times in my life where I didn't like it. I've sat in services and I didn't like it one bit, Brother Preston.
Yeah.
But you know what I had to do? Is a lot of times when I got home or sometimes came to the altar, I had to settle it with God and say, God, you're right. They're right. It's right. I'm wrong.
Amen.
Yep.
Bless you.
All we got to do is come back to Him.
Yeah.
So here it is. If you're dead in your sins, you need Jesus Christ to save your soul.
Amen.
For real.
Amen.
One that changes your life.
Amen.
Real salvation. You know, one thing they make fun of us is that we say in just one prayer and then all of a sudden everything, you know, is fine. And I agree. There are people that will say, you just pray a prayer and we'll put a notch on our, on a tally mark and we'll count it as a salvation. I'm here to tell you, it's one prayer, but it's one prayer to Jesus Christ after repentance and living a new life.
Yeah.
It is as easy as one prayer, but it better change your life.
Amen. That's right. Yeah.
So if you're dead in sin, you need Jesus. If you're saved and you are continuing in sin, you need to come back to Jesus and ask Him to forgive you of that, and you need to stop doing it.
Yeah.
That's it. There's no excuse. You know what happens when I get mad? I'll give you a little secret. When I get mad about someone preaching or something like that, first thing the devil tries to convince me of, well, I know the Bible's true, so he can't do that with me, but maybe he can do that with you. This is true, by the way. You know what else he tries to do, Brother Pete? He'll cuddle up. He'll say, you know, Mike, you're special.
Yeah.
You're different, right?
Sure.
Your situation's different. He doesn't understand that, right? You're different. You're excluded. You know what the problem is? It's not in here.
That's right.
There's no exclusions.
Amen.
You know what he says all the time? All. He lies.
Yeah.
Or then, well, you don't understand my past. You don't understand my upbringing. You don't understand this. You don't understand. And I don't understand, and I don't need to understand. And guess what? You don't need to understand.
That's right.
You just need to trust Him.
Amen.
And understand that what He did is enough.
Yes.
And He... Whatever you've gotten yourself into, He can help you out of it.
Yes. Yes.
whether it's getting saved or whether after you're saved you've gotten your life into a mess and you've gotten to a point where you don't want to be and you've wandered off, and like Jimmy said many times, you've laid down the cross somewhere, you can go pick it back up and you can follow Jesus again. I'm going to ask all of us to stand. That's where we'll stop, right there.